Radio Network. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you later, gang.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush spoke about the economy today in New York. He took on Wall Street CEOs who earn big salaries and bonuses. He said executive pay packages should be tied to CEO job performance. In Birmingham, England, 9 people were arrested in an alleged kidnapping plot. It involved the torture and beheading of a British Muslim soldier. Afterwards, the killing would be broadcast over the Internet. For the second day, members of the Iraq Study Group appeared before a congressional hearing. Co-chair former Representative Lee Hamilton said the training of the Iraqi police force has been botched. He said the wrong agencies were assigned the task. In Iraq today, the U.S. military said an American soldier was killed in combat. The death brings this month's death toll to 85. Also in Iraq, in mostly Shiite neighborhoods today, bombs and mortars killed at least 12 people at several locations. An apparent retaliatory attack on a Sunni neighborhood killed 4 people. U.S. officials report possible Iranian links to the recent attack at a Karbala compound that killed 5 U.S. soldiers. One was killed at the site, 4 others were abducted and later found dead. NATO reports that in southern Afghanistan today, around 30 militants were killed in fighting against Afghan and NATO forces. CNN reports that Osama bin Laden's brother-in-law and former best friend was killed in Madagascar while on a business trip. The family did not give details but said his possessions had been stolen. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said today he will give the Senate Judiciary Committee secret documents with details of the government's controversial domestic spying program. The announcement today ends a 2-week standoff with Congress. In the perjury trial of former Vice Presidential Chief of Staff Louis Scooter Libby today, former Time magazine reporter Matt Cooper is expected to testify. There are as many as 5 different non-binding resolutions among lawmakers who are critical of President Bush's 21,000 troop surge in Iraq. In an effort to control Republican opposition, President Bush will meet with GOP senators on Friday at the White House. Democratic Senator Joe Biden of Delaware officially opened his 2008 presidential campaign today by filing papers with the Federal Election Commission. He has already made some controversial remarks about his Democratic rivals and their ideas. Author Sidney Sheldon died yesterday at the age of 89. He was a prolific writer, and several of his novels became television mini-series. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank. SBA Preferred Lender and Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
The U.S. Census Bureau will go high-tech for the 2010 count. Temporary workers will use handheld computers to make the count more accurate and precise. About 500,000 workers will participate. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez continues to increase his power to transform the country into a socialist society. Today, the Congress granted him authority to put sweeping measures into place by decree. The Commerce Department reports in the 4th quarter the U.S. economy grew at a 3.5% rate. That is more than economists had expected. Altria Group announced in late March it will sell off its majority stake in Kraft Foods as part of a restructuring plan. Advertising for this Sunday's Super Bowl is expected to run $2.6 billion for a 30-second ad, the highest rate ever. The NYSE Group, the corporate parent of the New York Stock Exchange, has agreed to enter a strategic alliance with the Tokyo Stock Exchange. The joint pairing would include shared listings and the trade of technology and marketing. The Federal Reserve has left the benchmark interest rate at its current mark, 5.25%. Light sweet crude has been trading above $58 a barrel today. Currently, it's at $58.07 on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And taking a look at Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 114 points at 12,637, NASDAQ up 15, S&P 500 up 10. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, 11,
and most
11,
of the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a Wednesday afternoon. It's Thursday morning down here in Sydney. And, we got just a packed show today. And just a quick programming note, Bob Kincaid will be live today. So you get your Philip Bobster fix. It's all going to be good. The world is back into its proper alignment. So all right, folks, where where are we going today? We got lots to do today, and I'm in a really good mood. Which is really strange for 9 o'clock in the morning for me. So I mentioned this website called EcoBuzz yesterday, right? It's MySpace for greenies. And I made mention that it was by invitation only at the moment as they launch things. And so I sent an email off to Andrew over there at EcoBuzz. And he emailed me straight back with an invitation, and I signed up and I started checking things out. And started to learn that this website and this community are connected to a yet-to-air television series called Eco for the World, and seems to be a kind of a celebrity come environment show. They got all kinds of people that seem to be involved with it: Sting, Paul Simon, I mean, Desmond Tutu. I mean, it just you know, a whole amazing list of people. And so the show's in production. This, you know, this is all kind of a community that they're building around it. Now, it works just like MySpace. You can start a blog. You can, you know, it's got your profile. It's a three-stage profile. It's got your personal profile, your business profile, and your eco profile. And, you know, there's just like MySpace, there's the whole networking of friends and the whole thing and community. And I had a little bit of a surf around yesterday, and there's some really, really good bloggers in there. And I'm going to start including some things from them over the coming days. But if you would like an EcoBuzz account, I've got a few invites to give away. So all you need to do is email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com, and say, John, EcoBuzz me in the header, and I will send what invites I have left. I have a handful left to give away. And check it out. So, you know, I reckon listeners of this program are green of mind, or else you sure wouldn't be here. And this looks like the early stages of a very, very exciting community, and already gotten some response from a couple of people there who've actually gone back and listened to this program and left me some comments already on my blog. There at EcoBuzz. And so, you know, if you want one, drop me an email and I'll send you an invite and you can get in on the early stages of something new and what I think is very exciting. And they've got video promos and things on there for the television program, so you can check out where this and why this all came. And I had a great little chat with Andrew, who seems to kind of run the joint. And you know, very, very interested in what we do here. I'm very interested in what they're doing there. I don't know. Well, we might even get Andrew onto the program at some point. So hello to all the new listeners via EcoBuzz. Very, very cool thing. So, all right, folks. Where are we going first? There's a lot of stuff to do today. Now, the track of the day today is rather special because it did not come from my library. It was not my suggestion. However, our good friend, the one, the only Mr. Billy Shears, who is musical director for Guy James, and I believe he also is a contributor to the Mike Malloy Show, sent me a track today, and I reckon it's a great pick. So we're going to do some Crosby and Nash a little bit later. And, yeah, it's just a great and beautiful song. So thank you, Mr. Billy Shears, and we'll take care of that in the next segment. We've got some good stuff. We've got Tree Hugger's Most Huggable. We'll do some of that stuff. There's a few things that have come out yesterday. The United States, we're not doing a very good job when it comes to our oceans. It's kind of scary when you consider the amount of money that gets thrown at unjustified wars and petrol companies and the like. As this piece says out of the AP, and I'll get into this a little bit more after the break, the U.S. gets a C- on protecting the oceans, which is really pathetic. It's just pathetic. Saying the United States made modest progress on protecting its oceans last year, but still needs to boost funding for desperately needed reforms. Commission on Ocean Policy said Tuesday. Overall, the U.S. earned a C- grade from the Joint Ocean Commission Initiative, a collaboration between the U.S. Commission on Ocean Policy and the privately funded Pew Oceans Commission. That was a slight improvement over the D-plus grade on the Commission's report card for 2005. Yeah. You know, I only laugh because it's painful. a D-. And you know, ooh, we brought it up to a C minus. That's just pathetic. It's pathetic. President Bush last week, and I can't even. I'm really having trouble using the word president in relation to Bush. Please impeach. Last week proposed an 8% increase in the $1.75 billion federal budget for coastal and marine conservation programs, including $8 million for management of the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands National Monuments. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration would get most of its additional $143 million budget requested. It's way, way, just, oh, it's just way wrong. All right, folks, we're going to head out to our first break here on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in touch with me, email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com, or you can dial into the program, 1-877-443-2366. I'd love to hear from some callers today, and some new callers would be really, really groovy. Don't know why I'm saying that, but, you know, I know we have some new listeners out there, so, you know, dive in the pool. Dive in the pool. So we'll take this quick break, and we will be back right after this.
Shifted back in the 50s, particles drifted, a wave set in motion, the Pacific Ocean, test of the hydrogen bomb, their sperm would come too close to home, ships on the test put to rest and convalesce, with heavily armed guard in Hunter's Point shipyard, heavy metal sandblast, base mass deoxidized, remove the radiation from the outside, a hazardous cargo, dumped into the harbor, went farther than that though. Sand from the blasting made into sidewalks. Played on by kids that just got out of a chicken box. Going faces, all races, hopscotch, bare feet. On Geiger counter concrete, mother prepares a food.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sunday. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's just talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breeds that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And today's track of the day is just going to slide right out of this story beautifully. Okay, this is the part where you got to hold on to your breakfast, lunch, or dinner, depending on what your last meal was. Oh. Certainly the president has been and is still committed to ocean conservation, said Kristen Helmer, spokeswoman for the White House Council for Environmental Quality. He's got new funding for the ocean initiatives. Please! Please! Oh my God! This budget is like a drop in the ocean compared to the subsidies that we give to things like the oil companies, who are destroying the oceans almost single-handedly if you really wanted to get down to it. And and then to come out with an Orwellian statement like, the president has been and still is committed to the ocean's conservation, meaning ocean's destruction and demise. That is just pathetic. Says panel leaders praised the states as important champions for oceans in 2006, citing initiatives in New York and Washington as well as regional pacts on ocean management for the West Coast and the Gulf of Mexico. So, here you go. The smaller bits of government and the people get together and go, well, if you ain't going to do it, we're going to try. In the race to preserve our oceans, the states are outdistancing the federal government, said Leon Panetta, a former Clinton White House chief of staff who heads the Pew Oceans Commission and is co-chair of the joint initiative. The joint commission praised Congress and the Bush administration for winning passage of long overdue federal fisheries reform, but warned that more needs to be done. Bush's designation of the Northwestern Hawaiian Islands Marine National Monument will help protect nearly 140,000 square miles of islands, atolls, and oceans, the panel added. But strides made last year to safeguard the nation's imperiled oceans were undercut by a lack of funding at all levels of government, the panel warned. Education, research, and international leadership also need to be substantially improved. Our expert commission have now told Congress and the administration that they can what they can do to pick up the pace and immediately begin to reverse ocean decline, Panetta said. To bring this grade up in 2007, the bottom line is that more needs to be done if we are to protect our ocean resources. It's just so sad when your nation just can't get. Well, I think the nation gets it. I think the people get it, especially those that make their livings on the ocean, like, even the fishers. You know, there are issues there, overfishing and whatnot. But you know, the people, there's tourism. There's just all this stuff that, you know. Geez, you know, the food. It just frustrates me so that you know that most of the people get it. And it's the special interests, the money, that have such close ties to power, especially in this administration, that you just, you know, it feels like banging your head against the wall. But, you know, good on Panetta and these folks for saying, yeah, okay, you've done this. It's nice that there's an increase, but, you know, boys, get off the pot. It's a bit slow. So with that, we'll go to today's track of the day. And those of you who listen to a fair amount of internet radio, listen to stuff on the Horn or Mike Malloy or other folks, Sarge, we'll get just tell Sarge there, we got him hanging on the line, that bugger it. Sarge, how you going? Get on the program. We'll do the track later. How you going, mate?
Oh, man, I feel privileged. Hey, listen, I was just talking to Agnes yesterday about this, but, you know, one thing I'm trying to do is I'm trying to change some of my diet to organic stuff. And
yeah.
One thing I'm looking at now is to buy organic coffee.
Yeah.
What else would you suggest that people do to change their diets to be more earth friendly?
Well, I reckon one of the easiest ones, and where you can see the effect of supply demand and price, is to push your local grocer to stock some sort of, as locally as possible, produced dairy products, like your milk and whatnot. There is a real runoff effect on just organic milk production, because if the standards in the States are anything like the standards here in Australia, and for all my bitching and moaning that I do at times, the actual organizations that take care of these things do a really good job and have a very high standard. And so we get our milk from an outfit called Paul's, and they're certified organic, which means, you know, all the things like no hormones, no chemical pesticides, any of this kind of stuff going into the feed, whatever. But there are also land management qualifications. There is, you know, they're happy cows, you know, but they have enough land to roam on so that they don't do undue damage to the ecosystem because they're being packed in. And you also end up having more of your money that you spend be guaranteed that it stays in your local community's farmers' coffers than going to some conglomerate organization.
Okay.
And
being in this extremely goofball state of Mississippi, you know, we have very little concern about the environment here, although it's more in my part of the state because of Katrina. But for those who can't find organic milk and stuff of this nature in their local areas, is there a website you would suggest?
If you go to treehugger.com, actually, they have some really great resources of organic makers of everything, down to, you know, like hemp clothing manufacturers, which you can get online. Organic grocers and networks. And one of the things that you can do, and we were surprised to find here, is to search the web and look for co-ops. And you'll have co-opted farmers that will get together and create their own distribution networks for their organic produce.
Okay.
We have a number of them that are available to us around here. And like for, you know, you can actually set up a regular delivery, you know, say once a week of a certain box size, and it'll give you stuff that's all in season, and it'll all kind of contain a certain range of stuff for, you know, anywhere from 10 to 50 bucks a week, depending on how much you need.
Well, gee, that's great. Thank you. I really want to start becoming more environmental friendly, and I wanted to know where I could go to find it, because you certainly don't get the info around this area.
Well, and I'll tell you one of the things that Gail and I have found, and we're trying to do this in a city, you know. And so we get to know the dairy manager at the grocery store that we shop at, and we explain to him that we will go through X number of liters of unhomogenized bloody organic milk from Paul's every week. And we have watched now in two locations where we've lived, just because of us making sure that there is a standing order, not only do they end up stocking more, you see more of it go because people see it going, and we have watched now in two locations the price start at, you know, $2.70 a liter and drop straight down to $2.30 a liter within a couple of months just by that increased amount of demand. And we're actually seeing points now where sometimes we don't get deliveries because demand is starting to outstretch supply at the moment, and they're just having to gear up because people are catching on.
Good.
People are starting to catch on. And the fact that it goes straight back to a local dairy farmer makes me happy. And that's one of the things that I try to do, even if it's not getting so much organic, but trying to have your money travel as little distance as possible ends up benefiting your local community.
Well, you know,
I have a whole thought process on that one that I could go off for days.
when I was a kid growing up here, we had a lot of dairy farms. In fact, I had an uncle on my adopted family's side that had a dairy farm, and he made his living off of it, but they eventually put so much, you know, problems into the dairy farm business that he had to take a part-time job. And when he died, he did very little dairy farming because of all the things that were going on in the industry. So it's something I wish we could get back to.
Yeah, and you know, I pay a little bit more for these products but I'm actually just seeing that I get more value for money. And I'm seeing that, you know, it starts with having to have some dedicated people support farmers who will buck the system. And it's also been proved that once you get an organic system going, it is actually more viable than commercial farming, because you don't end up having to have pesticides because of the last round of pesticides that you used.
Well,
and
our environmental writer at unreportednews.net was in the D.C. March, so she hasn't gotten home yet. But I definitely would bet she could tell you a lot of horror stories on ranching.
Oh, I know. And she's written some really, really great stuff. And I've been so swamped with other stuff, I've actually been I've been not getting to cowgirl stuff. But everyone, go to unreportednews.net and check out the environmental column. It's some very interesting perspective on the environment from a rancher, and there's some great stuff. So, Sarge, I got to hit this break and then come back and do some other stuff, man. But really great to talk to you. Thanks for ringing in, man.
And thank you for the info. Bye bye.
All right, buddy. All right, that was our mate, Sarge. And we're going to quick go out to a break. And when we come back, we got more stuff in our track of the day. So we'll be right back on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Bod, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up here. Track of the day coming up shortly. We had to talk to Sarge. I couldn't keep him on hold. That would have just been So unfriendly. But before we go to the track of the day, let's cover a couple of treehugger.com's most huggable. And there's a couple of things in here that I think just are really, really cool. A California state assemblyman will introduce legislation to outlaw incandescent light bulbs in the state. And it says Lloyd Levine is expected to introduce legislation this week that would ban incandescent light bulbs in California, according to his office. And I think it would be something like 2012 that they'd do this. And they also say that Taiwan is stepping into the solar arena, adding millions of dollars and many megawatts to the country's grid. And as some get amped over the promise of electric cars powered by lithium-ion batteries, others are asking if there's enough lithium to go around. And I have yet to get to read that one, and I'm very curious about that. But this other one that I think is really, really cool, and I remember we tried something like this in Chico, California at one time when I was living there. Well, not me, but the council did. The City of Lights may now become the City of Bikes as the Parisian City Hall rolls out a plan for free public bikes. Now, looks like Paris is going to try what Amsterdam Holland does or was doing with bicycles. In Amsterdam, it works like this. The white bicycle system works as follows. Cyclists take a white bicycle from one stall and use it as transport to reach another location or transfer point. They return it to the nearest local stall once they arrive at their destination. And so, you know, they make them very, very plain white bikes, and I think they're talking about blue or something like that in Paris. And so they're just free bikes for the public to use to get around. And the idea is you have a bunch of them. No one needs to steal one because there's always a bike available. And, you know, creates a few jobs, you know, there. You know, a few local bike shops probably get some, you know, maintenance deals out of it. So, you know, I just think I dig that concept. I think that's one of the coolest things, you know. And when I was surfing around my new favorite place to hang out, EcoBuzz, I was checking out a blog by, I'll see if I can find his name here. And let's see if I can find this. And there was he had a really interesting kind of vibe on not liking all the hubbub about all these electric cars and the fact that we need to, more than that, just redesign our cities to be, you know, eco-friendly places, you know, that it's the way our cities and our suburb systems are set up very much in the Western world that make personal transportation a necessary evil. And there's a lot to be said for that. Now, whether or not we can can we redesign the cities of the world in time to not have replacement vehicles? I agree with the sentiment very much. However, I'm wondering if it's at this point we have to go down all roads all at once. Anything that cuts the carbon emissions down, we need to move on. And yes, city planning definitely plays a part in that, and as Susan says, I want an air car. I still dig those. I think those are some of the coolest things that I've seen come out. 160 whatever Ks on compressed air. Very, very groovy idea. And so, I mean, if you're doing your own electricity off of solar and wind to compress your air car, I reckon you're doing pretty, pretty bloody good. And yeah, the Tesla car, boy, is that a monster, that thing. The Lotus Killer. And what's interesting is actually this story I didn't have lined up for today, is that Lotus now has released a quick charge car, and Lotus is helping build the Tesla. So obviously there's some trading off, and, you know, what a brand name. What a brand name. And the performance of the electric motors is just absolutely fantastic. So without further ado, let's get on to this track of the day, just because I think this is really cool. Good friend of the horn, Mr. Billy Shears, and as I said before, does the music for the Guy James Show, and also a contributor to the Mike Malloy Show, sent me a track yesterday, and I thought it was just a great choice, and it just flows on from the whole Ocean's report card thing. And he sent me off of a really, really great record, Wind on the Water, Crosby and Nash, and it's just the two of them. And the track is called To the Last Whale. And this is just gorgeous, I mean, as far as just the music and the arrangement. It's just, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. But the lyric is something else, and the opening lines are, over the years you have been hunted by the men who throw harpoons, and in the long run he will kill you just to feed the pets we raise, put flowers in your vase, and make the lipstick for your face. I just think that's fantastic. So, without further ado, and thank you, Billy Shears, for this one today, To the Last Whale, David Crosby and Graham Nash. Roll it, Agnes. Down, 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 down
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
John McCain has done more than just embrace George Bush's failed policy in Iraq. It's actually his idea to escalate the war there. It's John McCain's idea to send tens of thousands more soldiers to Iraq and to keep them there with no timeline for bringing them home. The McCain plan to escalate, going from bad to worse. With 3.2 million members, MoveOn.org political action is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
All the chicks are crazy for a certain burly wolf, a real shocker.
Broadcast veteran Jeff Allen Wolf brings his gig to the internets. From sunny Arizona, weekdays 9 to noon Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network. For more information, go to headonradionetwork.com.
Just to hold his paw and
what would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
right, everybody. Welcome back. Boxed up here on the Head On Radio Network. Tool. and don't forget, folks, ecobuzz.net, and if you'd like a free account, which is available by invitation only, please drop me an email at john@headonradionetwork.com, and I'll send you an invite. Very, very cool stuff there, and check out their promos for their upcoming television show. It's cool stuff. So, all right. Really, really didn't even get through half of what I had for today, and one major thing I'm going to hold off till tomorrow because it's just too involved to get into at the moment, but it has to do with access to science, and we'll go there tomorrow. But I thought this was kind of a cool story. From The Independent, one of my favorite publications, crisp packets get a new life as covers for banned CDs. It says here, the metallic silver CD cover looks as striking as any other single stacked on the shelf of a music store. But on closer inspection, it turns out that the CD, the first release from a group called Recoup, is encased inside an empty crisps packet, potato chips for you Americans, which would otherwise not be recyclable. The packaging, which chimes with the environmental message delivered in the band's song Remind You, was the brainchild of the lead singer's girlfriend, who urged the group to develop an eco-friendly consciousness. Machen Moller, 30, a passionate environmentalist, dreamt up the idea to package her boyfriend Peter Theron's first single in a crisps packet by turning it inside out. Mr. Theron, 33, said he followed her advice to think laterally and be creative with consumer packaging. He hopes the move will create a new eco-army of music fans. You get bands with eco-friendly messages, but if you buy their CDs, they're made of pure plastic. You feel like saying, go and clean up your own house first. This is one solution, but there is the potential for larger bands to think of 100 other environmentally friendly ways to sell CDs that haven't previously been thought about. The amount of pure plastic jewel cases that are used in a single day is in the millions. We came up with a better solution, and the size of a crisp packet turned out to be perfect for holding a CD, he said. The band, which has a distribution deal with Universal, consists of Alita Statler, a drummer and music teacher, guitarist Matt Wood, who also works as a sound engineer, go brother, and Mr. Theron, a financial analyst for an investment bank. Over the years, they've developed a green aspect to their lyrics. The theme of the single, which is to be released in March, focuses on the damaging effects of the world's carbon footprint on the planet's natural resources. I wrote the song, and at the back of my mind was the idea that people were destroying the world, Mr. Theron said, and that's putting it lightly, but that's that's the truth. they're getting goofy in the production chat, and Agnes, my producer, is saying, "Potato chips unite." But hey, you know, what a great idea. I mean, and if it were to gain you some publicity in the long run, brilliant. And it says here, the video currently being edited features a man returning from a future laid waste by decades of damage to warn mankind of the destruction. We wanted to remind people of what they're doing and say that if you continue with this, this is what's going to happen. We show people that in 100 years, the world could be a completely different place where people have to wear gas masks. He added that the group decided to package the song in a crisp package to make a bold environmental statement. Crisp packets were hard to recycle because they are made from a combination of plastic and aluminum, and they are expensive to separate, he said. They take ages to biodegrade in a landfill site, so they are durable and the perfect shape for a CD case. When you turn them inside out, you can't see the brand, and we stick a recyclable label on the front with the band and the single's name on it. Absolutely, absolutely brilliant, I reckon. And, you know, this is just the kind of stuff that we have to do, you know. And anything to get the message out, I reckon. I think it's all too important. Every issue virtually that you can manage to name, from war to poverty, is an environmental issue. And it's just, that's just the facts. That's just the facts. That's just the facts. Fantastic. Fantastic. Because, you know, as you all know, I worked in concert production and theater production for years. And, you know, it's something that always weighed on our minds, especially in theater, when it comes to, you know, set building and paint and whatnot, and then not to mention the carbon footprint running all the lighting. Us sound guys aren't quite as wasteful, thankfully. However, trucking the stuff around is another story entirely. So, you know, the right likes to go, you know, bat crazy, you know, about celebrities and lefty musicians in Hollywood, you know, all touting the environmental message. But touting a message is one thing. Walking the talk is another thing, you know. Whether you believe in the whole carbon neutral thing, being able to buy off your carbon use, whether you buy into it or not, I have my reservations, but I think in practice it can be a good thing. You know, the big day out down here, the Rolling Stones have at least tried to pay for the damage that they create doing tours. So, you know, everything has to happen. No one thing's going to fix the problem. It has to be a holistic, global approach where everything we do is focused on the effects on the environment and what we can do to reduce the damage that we do every day doing virtually every single thing we do. Breathe, John. All right, folks, we're gonna wrap it up for the day, and Bob Kincaid is coming up next, live and loud. It's the Filibobster. He'll be rocking on tonight, and it would be prayer meeting edition, I would believe, wouldn't it? So everybody apply your Sea of Galilee mud mask. It's time for prayer meeting. As usual, thanks to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society for archives and streaming. Everybody, it's still fundraiser time. He hasn't hit the quota yet. Get over there, drop a bit into the till to keep us on the air. You know, he makes it all happen from the studio to the rest of you. So he would be a big missing link. Thanks to our mods, our bloggers, Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers. Thank you, Billy Shears, for today's track of the day. And thank you, B1 Louder Productions, for all the rest of the music that we have here. And thank you to the Carby thing that they do. Thank you, Bob Kincaid, for announcing the program. And go check out ecobuzz.net and email me for an invite. Get in on the program. I think this is going to be a very, very cool thing to be a part of. So everybody, as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green, and we will see you tomorrow.
What an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish.
This is the Quality News Network. A quarterly audit of U.S. government spending on reconstruction in Iraq reveals tens of millions of dollars in wasted money. The Iraq war and reconstruction costs have totaled more than $300 billion. In Iraq today, the U.S. military said an American soldier was killed in combat. The death brings this month's U.S. military death toll to 85. Also in Iraq today, at least 42 people were killed. Most of the violence occurred in Shiite neighborhoods by bomb and mortar attacks at several locations. In Germany, arrest warrants have been issued for 13 suspected CIA agents. They are wanted in connection with the alleged mistaken kidnapping of a German citizen of Lebanese descent. The man was allegedly held in a secret prison in Afghanistan for several months and beaten during his interrogation before he was released without being charged. In Birmingham, England, 9 people were arrested in an alleged kidnapping plot. It involved the torture and beheading of a British Muslim soldier. In Boston, the discovery of several suspicious packages today forced the closure of major roads, a bridge, and subway service. Authorities now say the devices were a hoax. U.S. officials report possible Iranian links to the recent attack in Iraq at a Karbala compound that killed 5 U.S. soldiers. The gunmen were allowed through Iraqi staff checkpoints and wore U.S. military uniforms. NATO reports that in southern Afghanistan today, around 30 militants were killed in fighting against Afghan and NATO forces. For the second day, members of the Iraq Study Group appeared before a congressional hearing. Co-chair, former Representative Lee Hamilton, said the training of the Iraqi police force has been, quote, botched. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said today he will give the Senate Judiciary Committee secret documents with details of the government's controversial domestic spying program. The announcement today ends a 2-week standoff with Congress. President Bush spoke about the economy today in New York. He took on Wall Street CEOs who earned